You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Very serious.
Everybody, we are back. The Mandatory Samson Podcast, Episode 2. This is Chris. That's Andy.
This is Andy.
And Joey.
And Joey.
Oh, this is very exciting. We are back here at Stand Up New York Labs. We got Joe Harari producing this one. This is going to go pretty well, I feel like. First off, I want to thank everybody that checked out the first episode. Amazing response.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
thank you, guys.
Yeah, it was extremely exciting. We got tweets, I got some emails, we got comments on SoundCloud. It was phenomenal. I love it, and I hope you guys are still here listening to this second episode.
It wasn't just our friends too, it was like people we don't know, people who actually decided to listen into it. It was very exciting for all of us. So yeah, guys, thanks again. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Joey, you want to thank everybody?
I'm super psyched. Thanks, guys.
Oh,
keep it up.
Look at the energy coming off this guy. It's amazing. First off, we have a new theme song. That's our real intro music, produced by Andy over here, and I think it came out phenomenal. I think
Thank
it's great.
You.
Killed it.
Thank
yeah,
you.
I love it. Here's something I wanted to bring up. We were talking after we recorded the first episode, and you prefer to be called Andrew.
Yeah.
What is that about? You threw me off completely. I've been calling you Andy for months.
I know. I apologize. Well, the biggest thing is I don't really care what people call me. It's more just when it's written down somewhere. Like if my name's on something, I prefer it to be Andrew. Because to me, Andy sounds more like kind of like a kid.
Right.
So I don't know. I've just always preferred Andrew. But yeah, I don't care. Whatever you want to call
me. Okay. Well, I'm going to call you Andy probably. But in writing, it'll be Andrew.
You can call me George if you want.
Although all right, listen, George, your attitude. I don't like your attitude to start this. Here's something else I wanted to bring up. It's a little bit of a criticism of myself. I listened to the episode. I thought it sounded really good. I really liked what we talked about. But I said, here's the thing, or here's the other thing. I said it like 800 times. If it was a drinking game, it would have killed you.
Yeah.
And I got to stop. Oh, you noticed as well?
No. I was saying if it was a drinking game, it would have killed somebody. But what I've noticed that too, like my old podcast that I would listen back to, there's always something that you repeat constantly. And
right,
people,
yeah,
you know, no matter how long you've been doing it, people still do it on other podcasts on this network that
sure
have like 50 episodes in the bag. Like they still, you know, repeat certain things over and over again.
Right.
So.
But it's crazy. It's something I got to stop. I'm going to try to catch myself when I say it. Because how could there be multiple things? I go, well, here's the thing.
So,
and then I say it 8 other times. It's not even possible. It's like, oh, here's the 15 things. Fucking idiot.
How about this? Could we propose a jaw, and every time you do it, you got to throw money into the jaw?
No.
That would be nice.
No.
I like that idea.
No, I deal exclusively in plastic.
Or
I don't have any money.
But I would be impressed if you numbered the things, so all the way through the episode, you're like, and here's the 14th thing. Like, if you kept track of them and numbered them, I don't think it would bother anybody.
Okay, that's
would,
an idea. Maybe I'm going to... All right, I'm going to try to do that then. I'm going to try not to say it, but if I do, I will keep a tally.
Yeah.
Look, the first episode went swimmingly. I loved it. I think we couldn't have got better responses.
No.
Listen, guys, soundcloud.com/mandatorySamson, and that's where you can go to check out every episode that comes out. It's coming out tonight at midnight.
Yep.
Okay, Thursday at midnight. So every Friday it's out, but Thursday at midnight, if you guys want to like smoke a little bowl and listen to some craziness, we will be there for you. Also, if you want to send an email, it's mandatorysamson@gmail.com. You guys can send us. We got a couple emails, actually, and one of the stories I'm going to bring up, just a quick hit, we got from somebody who wants to remain anonymous, but he emailed, and he's a big fan, and he suggested that we talk about something that I wasn't going to bring up, but we might as well just mention it.
Okay, great.
Off the strength of the first episode, obviously we had Chesterfield Cigarettes as a sponsor. We have another sponsor, and it's extremely exciting.
Awesome.
Joe, do you want to say anything about this, or you want to just go into...
Oh, just play the
just
clip.
Just play the clip.
I'm so excited for the sponsor.
I'm very excited, too. It sounds like a phenomenal product. And I will say this. This jingle is going to get stuck in your head, and I apologize ahead of time. But let's hear what they have to say. Our second ever sponsor. Here they go.
America discovers Roman. Roman frozen pizza. discovers Roman frozen pizza, the non-stingy frozen pizza for big American appetites. Roman pizza is the cheesiest, dripping with golden mozzarella. The sauciest, drenched in ripe, rich tomato sauce. The sausagiest, covered with generous rounds of zingy sausage. And pepperoni? They're the pepperoniest. There's nothing stingy about Roman. Discover cheese, sausage, and pepperoni.
Sing that jingle again!
America discovers Roman!
Whoa!
Nice done, guys.
That was amazing.
Jesus Christ. First of all, the sausagiest, that's great.
And pepperoniest.
Pepperoniest. That thing is amazing. It looks delicious. We have some heating up right now.
Yeah, we do.
We put it on very low in the oven. It's going to be perfect golden brown when we get out. Also, the girl in the commercial that we watched looks like Amy Schumer.
She does.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. That was a great commercial. People at home, you couldn't see it, unfortunately, but there was a man riding a chariot through 1950s American neighborhoods.
throwing pizza.
Frozen pizza.
Like a paper boy. He was just chucking pepperoniest pizza at people.
And he never missed.
Nope.
No. Roman always delivers. Roman frozen pizza. Yeah, good luck with that, guys. Get that out of your head. All right, so the first thing that I was not planning on bringing up, but I guess it's an interesting, it just happened a day ago. We got an email about it, the shootings that took place in Ottawa the last couple of days, which obviously that's a fucking mess. My first initial thought about it is that why do they need a soldier guarding a monument? There's no reason. True. It's symbolic, but this poor guy loses his life now. He gets shot by some crazy person.
Right.
And it's a real shame. But the guy that emailed us, he lives in Ottawa. So he's like, it's all over the place. He can't, obviously escape it. It's a big deal. It's an interesting thing because it kind of ties into what we were talking about last week with Islamic fundamentalism and things like that. The two guys that carried out the shootings on consecutive days apparently just recently converted to Islam. Okay. And one of them, I'm trying to find the guy's name right now, Michael Zahoff Bibo. Mm. He was the one that shot the guy at the monument yesterday. It's just a fucking, like, we think about it in America, there's always this argument about shootings and gun control and whatever, and we don't think that it really happens anywhere else, but this kind of shoots that argument down, no pun intended, because this is Canada.
Yeah.
Such a weird thing, and I don't know what is it about Islam that attracts these people that are fucking, obviously, sociopaths. They're going on a shooting spree,
Yeah. Do you think, does it attract them, or does it kind of create these ideas that this is okay, that you're doing something, for your religion, and that this is, these jihad activities, I guess you could say, that they carry out. I don't know. I don't know if it necessarily attracts crazy people or if it just puts these crazy thoughts into, obviously, people who carry these out are obviously imbalanced in some way to think this is okay.
Right.
But, I don't know, man. That's a tough thing.
It's just so weird that you would be, I mean, because anybody can become disenfranchised anywhere, regardless of where you are. But like, you're in Canada, you're in Ottawa. This guy was trying to supposedly go to the Middle East. He wanted to like join ISIS maybe even. It's like, what are you doing? Fucking idiot. I don't know. I didn't really have too much to say about it, but the guy that emailed wanted us to bring it up. So I mentioned it. Obviously we'll keep an eye on it as more information comes out about it. It's sort of like drips and drabs right now.
Right.
And I will say Canada is significantly better at keeping like details about the guy, like the kind of exploitation of the thing, that they keep it much quieter than we do here in America.
Yeah, of course.
Like we mentioned the Aurora thing last week when that, James Holmes, he was the Joker and blah, blah, all this bullshit about him immediately. Yeah. It's been a couple of days here. You haven't really heard too much about it out of Canada. So
yeah.
Here's my question. I forgot to answer the guy's email. He was saying it's on MSNBC, CNN, and everything in Canada. Do they have different anchors in Canada, or is it just America's feed of MSNBC?
No, I think they do have different anchors, I want to say.
Well, yeah. All right, so listen, if you're listening, I'd love for you to respond and let me know, who these people are, because I'd love it. And really, if you have like a YouTube clip or something, send it over. We could play it, maybe.
Absolutely.
I'd like to see the difference in coverage. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so All right, we covered that. We'll probably come back to it at some point. I have a couple of things that I want to talk about off the top. It's a little bit of a lighter week in terms of material, but because I wanted to throw it over to Andy quicker this week because I feel like I kind of monopolized the last episode. So I'm going to go through a couple of things. Then we'll go to Andy. Joey, actually, we hung out this weekend and I gave him a bit of a research project.
Yes, you did. You gave me one topic.
One topic, and I told him he better have fucking enough information to answer my questions off the cuff.
Better come strong.
Oh, I'm coming strong.
I'm coming
strong.
That's not what all right, I meant. Yeah, so we'll, that is exactly what you meant. And anyway, so we'll be coming to Joey later to do like a a special report.
Awesome.
Anyway, my first thing that I wanted to bring up, it's a minute clip. It's a trailer, actually, of everybody knows, I'm sure, Edward Snowden, who released a lot of NSA secrets,
yep,
who I think should be considered, maybe hero's too strong a word, but somebody that we should really respect for what he's doing. He put his neck on the line to let us all know things that we don't know about our government and what they're doing. Laura Poitras, who's a filmmaker, a documentarian, and Glenn Greenwald were the two that were mainly dealing with the leaks. Mm. They, as it turns out, were recording everything. They were filming during the leak process, how he got in touch with them and all that stuff. Very interesting. This is the trailer. It's a minute. I'm going to play it because it's like very cool. And I believe the documentary comes out tomorrow.
Oh, okay, great.
So if you guys want to check it out, I don't know if it'll be free or whatever it is, but it's probably something to pay attention to. So anyway, so here's the trailer. It's about a minute long, and I think it's really, really cool. And then we'll talk about it.
Laura. At this stage, I can offer nothing more than my word. I am a senior government employee in the intelligence community. I hope you understand that contacting you is extremely high risk. For now, know that every border you cross, every purchase you make, every call you dial, every cell phone tower you pass, friend you keep, site you visit, and subject line you type is in the hands of a system whose reach is unlimited, but whose safeguards are not. In the end, if you publish the source material, I will likely be immediately implicated. I ask only that you ensure this information makes it home to the American public. Thank you, and be careful. Citizen 4.
Sir, I don't know anything about you.
Okay, I work for,
Sir, I don't know your name.
Oh, sorry. My name is Edward Snowden. I go by Ed. Edward Joseph Snowden's the full name.
Now it says on screen Citizen 4, the little title. And then it says, from Academy Award nominated director Laura Poitras and executive producer Steven Soderbergh. And then it says 10/24/14, which is tomorrow. So that's cool. I mean, that looks like it's going to be a phenomenal documentary.
Yeah, that looks very cool.
I have a particular feeling about Snowden. I don't know how you guys feel about it. You got any thoughts about this guy? Or
I can appreciate what he did. But I don't know, as an American, and I don't really, I don't know, it's tough. I don't know if all that information should be out there, because it's not just out to the American people, it's out to everybody in the world.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I hear that. Joey, you got any?
Yeah, see, I don't know I never took the time to sit down and exactly read what he put out.
Right.
But I can understand the argument that there should be certain things that the government would like to keep it to itself and not be made to available to the public.
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem with that. I think that's all well and good, and if the government wants to keep a secret, they should try to do that. But I think it's the job of journalists and whistleblowers like Snowden. I don't view him as a criminal. He's a whistleblower. He saw something going on the same way Chelsea Manning was. It's like, you know, they saw something that was going on, and they're willing to suffer the consequences of putting that information out there, but they're trying to help. And I think that it's important for a democracy to function. You need to have all of the information about what your government's doing.
Yep.
You know, so if the government wants to try to keep a secret, fine, that's their job. But it is the job then of an informed electorate and a journalist to get information to them so they can decide, hey, we don't want that going on in our name. Because that's what it's being. That's the problem when you talk about terrorism and, oh, they hate America and they hate our value. Well, they hate what a lot of fucking people are doing in your name that you didn't elect, that you had nothing to do with, and you're really not paying attention to them. They're doing shit that people hate in other countries. They don't hate me. I'm not doing anything. I'm trying to push, you know, Roman frozen pizza. I'm not the problem.
Right. We're not the problem here.
No. So, I don't know. That's how I feel about it, but that's going to be an interesting documentary for sure.
I think there's something to be said for, definitely for the balls, though, that Snowden has to put that out there, because in my opinion, the government is a very scary thing to me. Like their,
in what sense?
That their reach is, as they said in the documentary, their reach is everywhere.
Right.
Like if they don't like what you're doing, you can disappear.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, which actually has happened, and I hate that I can't remember the guy's name, but there was another whistleblower that was about to publish a story. He worked for, who did he work for? He was just a writer for a lot of these big magazines, and he was about to publish a story on things going on in the Middle East.
Oh, Michael Hastings.
Was it?
Where his car,
his
where he
car
got the car accident? Yeah.
Blew
yeah,
up
and
all
he's
of a
doing
sudden?
Air quotes. Yeah, mysteriously blew up. Yeah. Yeah.
And he was saying that he was, in his last days, I guess, he was, like, keeping records of being like, look, I know, like, they're going to get me soon.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's a very, very mysterious thing. Look, accidents happen, right?
Right.
Yeah, they do.
But people who saw the car accident take place, I'm air quoting again, said his car basically blew up like there was a bomb in it.
Yes.
So, you know.
Yeah, no, I read a lot about
it. Draw your own conclusions from that.
Michael Hastings was I guess, as close to a pit bull reporter as you're going to get, a guy that was not afraid to go anywhere. He would go. He was in Afghanistan and
brought
down Stanley McChrystal. There was the big Rolling Stone or Vanity Fair, I forget.
I think it was Rolling Stone. That he
Rolling Stone.
He was also asking the right questions, too.
See, because the thing is, the thing is, he puts himself in the position to not even ask a question. He puts himself in harm's way. He goes and hangs out with the Marines. He's hanging out with McChrystal for a month. And over the course of time, guess what? McChrystal's going to get drunk at some point. He's going to have a loose moment. And he started divulging things.
Mm-hmm.
And Hastings basically got him fired as the commander in Afghanistan, which is good. If he's fucking up,
right.
Our longest war, $1 trillion, it's like, yeah, get out of there. And then Hastings... he was driving his car and they said that there was no brakes were not hit. He just accelerated into a tree and the fucking car exploded by himself. And in the days leading up to it, he had been emailing with another general who he's friends with, and he was saying, like, they're following me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
like, I'm going to disappear for a couple of days, and then he was there.
That's what he said right before he passed away. He was like, I'm going dark for a little bit. Like, you won't be able to find, like, I hope you can't find me because, like, this is out of control at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm terrified for my life, and... You know, look what happened.
Right. So, but I mean, going back to what you're saying, right, the government is scary, but it's almost these extra governmental, which I would consider like the NSA and the FBI. It's like, they're not really government because they're not making laws necessarily, and they're not really representing us.
Yeah.
They're there doing kind of a separate thing from the task of government. And it's like, those are the people that we really don't know anything about.
Right.
And so somebody like Snowden gives us some insight into what they're doing, and what he unveiled is, you know, it's fucked up. There's a lot of, weird things going on with our privacy.
The one thing I respect Snowden for is for calling for a level of transparency. If government was more transparent, then maybe you wouldn't have as many whistleblowers that have
such big
announcements.
Right, that feel like they have a moral obligation to do it. Because that's what it is. Like, people, I think, would... kind of chastise him as like, oh, he's looking for fame or whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
I don't get that from the guy. You know, I've read a lot. I've seen a bunch of his interviews. I've read a lot of what he says. That's not what he's doing it for. He's doing it because he has a conscience.
And he feels,
And he felt obligated to say it. So anyway, that's Citizen 4. I think it comes out tomorrow. Not really sure how it's going to be available, but, you can get your hands on it.
That should be cool.
So, it should be very cool. The second thing I brought is just quick. We don't really even have to get into it. I just wanted to mention it. But it kind of goes back to the thing we were talking about with government. Pope Francis, who's really cool, I would have to say. As somebody who's not religious.
You've met him?
Yeah. I kissed his ring. No, I don't know.
Very nice.
No, I just see, he's always like tweeting and like doing a bunch of shit, and he's always saying some interesting things.
Yeah.
He came out recently. They were doing a synod or something, which I guess is like a meeting of all the bishops and shit.
Oh.
And he... made a point to be like, look, we got to be more inclusive of gays. They have gifts to bring, and we shouldn't be extricating from the church and stuff like that. Right, of course. And he's like, they're they can go to heaven and all this stuff, which is incredibly progressive and very, very cool. The bishops came back and were like, no, like, we're not going to accept this, and they didn't include it in the document they were writing.
No.
But the point is, it's refreshing for me, and especially I think a lot of people probably in America feel this way, when you get a guy, because when Obama got elected, there was very high hopes, and I think he's been somewhat disappointing to people, definitely disappointing to me.
Absolutely.
You get a guy like the Pope, who gets power, and he's using it. He's saying what he wants to say, when he wants to say it, and he's not really caring what the people around him are advising him to say. He's using his power in a positive way, and it doesn't even matter whether he's using it negatively or positively, but he's doing what he wants to do from a position of power, and it's really refreshing to see that done. I wish Obama would take a bit of a cue from that guy. I mean, it's a little late now, but it's like he could have been a very transformative president, and he just kind of felt, he's just an average president.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that was really cool that the Pope came out and say that. And it's so dumb on the bishop's part, because they come out and they're like, well, we're not going to include it in the document. It's like, don't you understand?
The Pope just said that.
Yeah, the Pope said it. So it's everywhere already. It's like most people are just going to take what he said. They don't need your stupid pamphlet that you're sending out. And it's interesting because it shows a level of understanding the new media that, this older gentleman from Latin America, really understands. It's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Joey, what do you think about that? We, we went to Catholic school. We know the bullshit that goes on.
I think it's fantastic
that
the Pope is trying to be more progressive. Also, the church sometimes has a habit of falling behind the times and not evolving with the current culture and status and progression. I think it's awesome that he's being a little bit more open-minded.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, even if you don't want to say outright, yeah, it's okay for gays or whatever. I mean, it's ridiculous, but if that's, the leader of the church, maybe you're not going to come out and say that. But at least he is practicing what I would view as like Jesus's main message, which was treat everybody the way you'd want to be treated. Yeah. That's what this Pope is doing, and he's damning of extreme wealth and materialism and things like that, which I can really get behind. It's very cool.
Yeah, it is very cool.
Here's my question.
I love me some gay people.
Yeah, hells yeah. I love the Pope and the gays. Let's do it. I brought a video of this chick named Jessica Vanessa, who used to be a preschool teacher, and she quit her job, and now she makes money by shaking her ass in 6-second Vine videos, and she makes like $100,000 a year. It's like a 4-minute profile on her. We're like 20 minutes in. Why don't we shelf that for now? We can always come back to it. I want Andy to be able to get to his topics, and then I definitely want Joey to unveil his research on all this. So let's skip over that for now. I'm gonna throw it over to Andy, and let's see what this big guy has to talk
about. What's her name? Jessica Vanessa.
Yeah,
she's the real MVP. Like Kevin, remember Kevin Durant's MVP speech? Yeah, Jessica Vanessa, you're the real MVP.
She has a average face, terrific ass.
What about the children?
Check it out. What about them?
She left them to go dancing.
Yeah, when they get a little older, they'll find her videos and they'll enjoy it. They're going to learn way more from that sweet booty twerking. All right, awesome. Andrew, what do you got for me?
Okay, one thing I wanted to talk about. I had two topics. I guess we'll get to this one first. I'm sure you guys have heard about the teenagers from Denver who set out to Syria to join extremists. I'm not sure if it was ISIS specifically,
right?
But
they're sort of free agents. They're playing the field a little bit.
I guess, yeah. You hear about it?
I have not.
No. Okay. I've heard a little bit. I've heard a couple of stories about this. Are these the two? Are they the teenage girls that were going over there?
Yes.
Yeah, I did read about it. Yeah.
Okay. So first thing that caught me was the fact that, because when you see three teenage teens set out to join ISIS or extremist groups, I automatically assumed it was boys.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Yes.
You would assume so.
Because it's like the element of, we can go over there and at least like blow shit up and whatever. So you can see from that maybe aspect like why it would be appealing. But
So no, it turns out it was three teenage girls. They left from a Denver suburb where they lived, apparently bound for Syria to join the extremists fighting over there. And
so that would be ISIS in Syria. So they'd be going to hang out with ISIS.
Right.
Yeah.
So they were stopped in Germany. I guess their passports were flagged, and because their parents had called the FBI and said, "Look, we think our kids are on their way to go join ISIS." Basically,
that's great. Huh. That must be a great morning.
Yeah. Which, and there's all these, there's different details that are coming out about it. But basically, the girls, two sisters. Two of them are sisters of Somali descent, and a friend whose family is Sudanese. They were detained when their flight landed in Frankfurt on Friday because the FBI flagged their passports. And The parents of the girls called the FBI, obviously.
Right,
and,
which is good. Thank you for doing
yeah,
that.
Thank
yeah.
you. The girls, who are all U.S. citizens, age 15, 16, and 17.
Right. It's like, how do you think that's going to go when you get over there?
Jesus Christ, man. Like, what was I... Like, I was smoking weed and, like, trying to finger-fuck girls when I was 15.
Hell yeah! Like, No, absolutely.
To have, like, this, you know, to just be able to organize this trip.
Yeah, what the
like,
fuck?
Booking international flights. Yeah, I couldn't do that.
No, not at 15. Definitely not. Yeah, you're right. That's a crazy aspect of it. What the hell are they doing? Like, how advanced are these kids that, A, they're online getting fucking radicalized or whatever it is, and then, like, okay, I have... It's got to be $1,500 to fucking fly over there.
Well, here's the thing. I guess the way they funded this was they stole money from their parents. They stole about...
Oh, that's why the parents caught the cops.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the parents had noticed the parents of the two girls that were sisters, I guess they had like $2,000 missing.
Right.
And so, you know, but the parents, I guess, had no indication that their kids planned to travel. They just kind of left one morning. And I guess the parents went, I think they went on their computers and did, you know, checked like history, and they saw like orbits.com, like flights to fucking Frankfurt and then to Syria.
How stupid. See, it's funny. They're smart, but they're stupid. Go to the fucking airport and buy a ticket there.
Right.
You're going to leave a paper trail, you silly gooses.
It's just I don't know the
giving advice to 15-year-old terrorists. Don't leave a paper trail
to join terrorist groups. But the biggest thing to me is now these girls are back home with their families. There was no like
there was no punishment.
No
awkward.
Yeah, no punishment. No nothing.
If I were their parents, I would have been like, let them. I'd be like, they're gonna go over there. Just keep your eye on them, but let them go.
Yeah,
you go see what it's like to hang out with ISIS in Syria. You crazy bitch. You want to come back to Denver where pot's legal? It's a goddamn utopia.
And also, especially the fact that they're females, they're probably not going to be treated the way they want to be treated.
No, well, here's the thing. Here's the second thing. This wasn't the article I read, but I saw something about this. I read an article about these two other chicks that went over to, they went to Iraq and they joined ISIS.
Yep.
And they were all about it and they were very excited. They had like spray painted some shit at school, like some, you know, whatever bullshit they were
getting
doing.
It done.
Yeah, exactly, really bringing the war home. And they went over there and they were immediately sold off as like wives and like breeders and shit like that, and somehow they
Mistake.
Got out and now they're back home wherever they were. I forget where it was exactly, but they are being rejected outright by everybody in town.
Good.
Like, no, you fucking went. Yeah, exactly.
Like, as they should be.
Fuck you.
It's so weird. But, it's such a weird thing.
Yeah, so basically the way this article ends is that the FBI has spoken to the teens and interviewed their families, and the agency said at this point that they're not facing any charges.
Right, because they technically didn't do anything.
Technically.
Like, you can't get... I mean, it's a thought crime, basically. Like, oh, we wanted to join, but we didn't... They didn't really do anything.
But it's just... To me, and I guess that's true, you can't really charge them with anything. Well, they didn't do anything wrong other than like petty theft, I guess. But,
right. It's to their own parents, and it's their choice to press charge then, I guess, at that point.
Exactly.
This reminds me of like the cannibal cop that was in New York, where he had like detailed writings about how he was going to kill and eat his wife or whoever it was, and they couldn't put him in jail because he didn't do it.
Right.
So, like, a fantasy is not a crime.
But
you're gonna keep your eye on that fucking idiot. But
yeah, dude,
it's a gray area.
That was a very scary story, and I think. But anyway, yeah. Getting back to this, it's just to me, it's so crazy that these girls have been radicalized to the point of where they were ready. They were on their way to go join ISIS and fight against, you know,
whatever they're fighting against.
Whatever they're,
what strikes me about it is that. You know, I use the word radicalized, which I guess is what the proper term is for it, but we're talking 15, 16-year-olds. Are they radicalized or are they quote-unquote fans of this idea? Because you go on Twitter, what's trending all the time? It's One Direction hashtags.
Yeah.
All day, all the time. God, oh, look, they put up another video. Oh, the blah, blah, blah. Thank you, 1D, all this crap. And... it's obviously 15-year-old girls that are doing that.
Yes.
They can become easily obsessed with an idea.
Yes.
And they probably don't necessarily understand the full, you know, whatever it is, the full
scope of it.
Scope of the, exactly, yeah. The full scope of what's
going
on.
And then they go
on.
Play airplane tickets.
Right, so it's like it almost becomes, it's like, are they really radicalized? Do they really think, you know, that that's the right thing to be doing? No, but maybe they find it as an appealing thing just because it's a thing and, you know, they can gain attention by doing it.
Yeah, maybe. But, and I guess, you know, because they're all U.S. citizens, but they're two are of Somali descent and one is right. Sudanese, maybe... I don't know. Maybe they feel like that they're being wronged somehow, as like, you know, or their people are being wronged.
Sure.
But
sure.
But beyond the fact that,
well, Somalia for sure. Somalia is a fucking. They literally have no government. They have nothing going on.
Right.
There.
That
so like that's why
a
there's
madhouse.
Right. That's why there's pirates and there's fucking Somali, you know, Al Qaeda and all this shit. Like,
yeah.
There really is no law there. So yeah, maybe these. Maybe they, if they're from there. They kind of always wanted to go back or get involved or whatever. But.
Maybe, but it's just, this was, just a very crazy story to me. And as I said in the beginning, the fact that it was girls who went over there, like,
it's strange.
It is. It's just very strange. But, I guess that's basically it. Just kind of an outrageous story that I felt like we should talk about because, I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, it's happened multiple times recently. That's the thing. I thought you were talking, that's the third thing, that you were talking about it. And I thought it was the one story, and it turns out it's another. It's happened a few times now. So.
Well, there was another girl from Colorado who planned to join ISIS, and I guess she got caught at Denver Airport instead of Germany, but she had a flight booked Denver to Germany, then to Turkey, where she was going to join an ISIS camp. I guess she wanted to be a nurse for ISIS. But
yeah, good idea. Good luck.
But what the like?
Yeah, you could be a nurse. You could be a nurse in Denver. You're going to go to. Why would you go to join a group that is known for raping and like keeping women down?
Yeah.
And covering their face. It's like, what is the appeal of that?
I don't know, man.
Well, they probably have shitty dads. That's my guess.
Yeah, blame the parents.
Well, blame dad, I'm sure. But yeah, I don't know. That's, yeah, it's very strange.
Very strange indeed.
You got any? Oh, you know what? Just real quick, going back to that Canada thing, the shooting. It was interesting because the mom of the shooter came out and she said, I have no sympathy for my son. Like, I only cry for the victims. Like,
oh, wow.
I'm so sorry. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's great. That's what you need to hear. Unlike the fucking weirdo that shot up the kids and wherever, Pennsylvania or whatever
that
it was.
That was in Connecticut.
Like, Connecticut,
that was
like
20 minutes away from where I live.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, but it's like they make excuses. Like the mom makes don't make excuses for this person.
Well, the mom's dead.
Like, yeah, I know. But the dad or whoever it was, the sister was there, like some people, like relatives.
Yeah, I was saying.
So good. Good for the woman in Canada. It's like, yeah, you know, she probably knew the kid was crazy and she feels really bad that she couldn't do anything to stop him. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, I'm sorry. What is, you got another one?
Yes, it's actually a response to the video we watched last week with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay, what do you mean, a response from?
From this, well, it's just kind of an article. It's not a direct response to that video, but just an article I read. Climate change proved to be nothing but a lie. claims a top meteorologist, the guy who, his name's John Coleman. He co-founded the Weather Channel.
Oh, really?
Shocked academics by insisting the theory of not climate change is a lie. Man-made climate change is there's nothing that is scientifically credible to prove that that is taking place.
That, yeah, okay. All right, I'm listening. Well, if this guy started the Weather Channel, he's a he's very wealthy. Right.
Yeah.
So he's probably pretty conservative, I would guess, based on his, you know, if he's super wealthy, he's probably going to have conservative politics so he can like save money from taxes and shit. So that would make sense. But God, continue.
OK. Interesting. You take that, but I get it.
Well, because I'm just skeptical. It's like, what is the I don't understand what the logic is behind denying it and saying that, oh, it's just natural. How do you fucking know that? There's so much overwhelming evidence that things are not naturally occurring.
But that's how do you know that?
Because 97%, it's like I read an article about climate change and like this guy just comes out and goes, nope, I proved it, because I bet none of his reasons are actually scientific. It's going to have something about Al Gore or whatever, and it's going to be like an economic argument.
No, not true.
Continue.
He is actually a part of a group that is the NIPCC, which is a non-governmental international body of scientists aimed at offering an independent second opinion of the evidence reviewed by the IPCC, which is a government thing.
Yeah, who just released a report, I think, within a couple of months, where they were saying that it's worse than they had anticipated and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so anyway, what he says is basically there's very little evidence that there are rising global temperatures and... basically, all of their research, the NIPCC, has said that it's basically natural phenomenon within a developing ecosystem. The ocean is not rising significantly. Polar ice is actually increasing, not melting away. And polar bears are actually increasing in population numbers.
See, that's what I mean. It's like, okay, so this is the fourth thing. What the like? He's saying the polar bears are increasing.
They're on the up.
Science says that they're not. So what the fuck could possibly like? somebody's wrong. That can't be true.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm gonna look at God. Keep going. I'm gonna look up some shit about polar bears.
Okay, great.
well, because it's like that polar bear population studies. I'm going to right now.
Okay.
It just seems crazy that there could be this much. There has to be, unless he's 100% right, there has to be an ulterior motive for why he's saying it's not a real thing.
Okay.
Right?
So, yeah, he's quoted saying, "I've studied this topic seriously for years. It has become a political and environmental agenda item, but the science is not valid."
Okay.
He added, "There is no significant man-made global warming at this time. There has been none in the past, and there is no reason to fear any in the future. Efforts to prove the theory that carbon dioxide is a significant greenhouse gas, and pollutant causing a significant warming or weather effects have failed. There has been no warming over the past 18 years.
I just don't understand how that... See, because to me that just seems factually incorrect because we can measure the temperature of the Earth, and it's higher now than it was 10 years ago, consistently. We've had record temperatures all over the place. We've had these extreme weather patterns. Like, things are happening because of something else, and the answer is that climate change is a real thing. To what extent it's real, to what extent it's natural, to what extent it's man-made, I don't know. But I'm willing to go with the scientists on it and say that it is caused by... you know, pollution.
But
he
is a scientist as well, and he's saying
he isn't. Here's the thing. He isn't because I just Googled him.
Yep.
And there's an article from 1986, the business section of the New York Times, and it says the curious case of John B. Coleman, and he had something to do with he owned hotels, and he was kind of like a piece of shit, like quarrelsome guy, and blah blah blah.
Yep.
So he's a businessman slash. Meteorologist. That's what I was bringing up. So maybe I was wrong to say conservative. I'm guessing he is, though. He's worth nearly $125 million in 1986.
Yep.
Here's the thing. The fifth thing. Jesus, I got to stop, Joey. Every time I say kick me in the dick.
Get the jar out.
No. That's what we're going to do. Just kick me right in the nuts every time I say it. Like, he's a businessman first. If you get to that amount of money, you're a businessman first, regardless of what your area of expertise is.
Sure.
There's a lot of scientists like John Box, who's like a chief climatologist guy that works in Antarctica and like studies the Arctic ice shelf and stuff like that, and is saying for sure it's diminishing and there used to be ice here and there wasn't and it's going to drop 100 feet and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's not a millionaire. His one job, the thing he's interested in, is to study the ice shelf in Antarctica. This guy... Yeah, he owns the Weather Channel. So his business is not really being a meteorologist. His business is making people watch the Weather Channel. And if you have put out these positions of like, climate change isn't real, we're going to have a documentary proving it's a hoax and blah, 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 you're just creating interest in your cause. And that's why I feel like, you know, I mean, I could be totally wrong. He might be 100% right. But I naturally feel like he is not right because of the things I just said.
But isn't that, don't you think your political view, you know, kind of shifts you one way or another on that?
I guess I don't necessarily look at what I, like, I don't look at it as a political view. That's a thing. I don't really associate with the Democrats. I don't. You know, I don't really associate with any political
party. Well, you're a liberal person.
I'm liberal in the sense that a lot of issues, I look at them from a liberal perspective. I do have some conservative views and things like that, but it's not like rah-rah Democrats, rah-rah Obama, you know.
Yeah.
I'm very critical, and I think especially if you support it, like I voted for Obama the first time in 2008. I was disappointed, did not vote for him the second time, didn't vote for Romney either. But
okay.
I voted for the Green Party, if you must know. But, you know, it's you have to be critical of people that you support, especially, and I was very critical of Obama, and I still am. I don't look at it as like I'm politically just saying, no, I have to disagree with this guy. I just based on shit that I've read and kind of my understanding about how these super wealthy people operate, like he has a point of view and his point of view is probably to make money, not to
push his agenda.
Well, his agenda is probably based on making money. It's not about informing us or being like, don't worry, everybody. I bet this guy has some of his money tied up in oil or natural gas or something.
What about the fact that he is basically...
This is a good one. I'm glad you brought this up. It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, what about the fact that he is like calling out like businesses? Because it also says in this article, U.S. News and World Report... Excuse me. Noted that many of the world's largest businesses, including Coke, Pepsi, Walmart, Nestle, Monsanto, all that stuff, Microsoft and IBM, are now engaged in actively responding to climate science and data.
What do you mean? Like they're, in what way are they responding to it? What do you mean?
Like that they're, you know, they're donating money and resources towards researching climate change and stuff like that. So he's basically saying... Like, this is just a political agenda, basically. He's saying that the reason people are so up in arms about climate change is so they can push these restrictions on businesses, and they can push, and I know you like that.
Right.
But that they can, basically, he's saying it's only for political agenda. There's really no science that has actually proved that these changes are taking place.
Right. Well, that's where I disagree with them. That's not straight out. That's not true. Anyway, there is plenty of scientific data. You could say it's wrong, or you could say they did the data wrong, but there's plenty of data that, you know, shows that there is an increase in climate and all this stuff. But that's
is it man-made though?
Yeah, I think it is. But here, but
they
here,
have signs proving that it is man-made.
Yeah, absolutely.
Change.
But that they show where the level would be if it was just a naturally occurring thing. And then they go, but we've gone above and beyond it because of these, you know, 30 factors that they can list. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, going back to your point, he's right. When Monsanto gets involved on the other side of it, it is political. It is a political issue. There's no denying that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But just because it's a political issue, it doesn't mean that it's not a real issue as well, that it's a global problem. Everything can get conflated into these, I'm on this side, I'm on that side, you know. But it's a real thing. The reason it's a political issue is because you have big business, you know, trying to keep doing what they're doing without having to make any changes, regardless of the problems with the planet.
Yep.
But then you also have these piece of shit corporations like Monsanto, which no doubt about it, Monsanto is one of the most evil goddamn things on earth. They're lining up on the side of researching climate change and whatever, because they're trying to position themselves to be on the right side when it is...
When
when we absolutely do have to make a change, they want to be there with their genetically modified blah, blah, blah.
Chickens?
Know? Yeah, chickens or whatever they want to do. The Monsanto, we'll get into Monsanto another time. Monsanto's evil as fuck.
Evil as fuck, indeed.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Let's keep our eye on this because I'm going to do a little more research. We'll probably bring this up next week.
Yeah, we should just... I just thought it was an interesting article.
It's good.
And again, I'm not saying that this is what I believe. I just thought it was an interesting article to bring up.
Totally.
I think I don't know. I wish the article had provided more information about the science that he's quoting and the science that people on the other side of the argument are quoting.
Sure.
Like, I would like to see the actual numbers.
Right.
And, you know, because, like you said, both sides can say whatever they want.
Right.
But, and slander each other and, you know, say the other side is lying or whatever. But there has to be, like, actual facts that can say, yes, this is from man-made problems, or this is a natural phenomenon.
Right.
And it's just because the way the ecosystem has been developing so rapidly for, you know, the past, whatever, it's been 100, 150 years, 200 years, whatever.
Right.
I would like to see, there has to be some proof out there of whether this is true or if it's not.
Oh, yeah, and I believe there is proof out there. I'm going to definitely research this guy. I want to find out what some of his, interests, business interests are. you know, we'll look into it. I'll try to bring some data. Maybe you can try to find some stuff that this guy's putting out, and we'll kind of go back at it. Because look, guys, this is a goddamn important issue. I'd almost be happy to be dead wrong.
I would happy for this guy to be right. I think all would be happy this guy to be
right. But it's effing dangerous when he's not right. And then you have all this competing noise out there and people just tune out because, like we're saying, there's a lot of points on either side. It becomes political. People go, I don't know.
Right.
And you'll know when you have to live on a boat. That's how you'll know. All right. That's a really good topic. Thank you for bringing that. I think that's definitely something we're going to keep on. And I'm on your ass now, John Coleman. You wait.
The polar bears, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm writing that down.
I hope they're increasing in population.
They aren't. How many times have you seen a picture of a polar bear just on an ice?
But that could just be. But that's also
just a dumbass polar bear. It's like, oh,
yeah.
No, I'm on the ice sheet. I'm done.
That polar bear could just be a moron. It could just be one polar bear that they keep filming over and over again. They're like, why doesn't this guy get it?
You're absolutely right. You're right. That son of a bitch, Leonardo DiCaprio, is out there training polar bears to float out to the ocean and die. That's great. We're gonna stay on that. Well, we're about 45 minutes into the episode. I think it's going great. I really enjoyed that conversation. Well, Joe, do you have anything to add to that? Or
on that one, I don't.
All right, so shut your mouth. Okay, here we go. Andy just looked at me like, why would you say that? I'm just joking. I love you, Joe. I'm sure.
I can't wait till we have video in here.
Oh, it's gonna be so great.
That's something we should tell. Or I don't know if we have fans yet, but listeners, we should tell
listeners.
Our listeners.
Yeah, I prefer listeners. I was thinking about what to say because I was going to thank the fans, but that's like absurd. Thank you.
Do
listeners.
We get to name them at some point?
I have already done that.
Named our fans.
Go ahead, no, my fans.
Oh, your personal fans.
Yeah, my personal fans.
Go ahead, Joe.
Noe Lights.
Noe Lights. What about Noeites?
Maybe that's better.
Okay, I think that's a little better. The Noeites. Okay, it's Joey Noeites. The Noeites. We got it. Noeites. All right, so we're 45 minutes in. Joey, I asked you, we hung out Saturday night. I asked, hey, are you getting any topics for the podcast this week? I'm getting excited. What do you got? And you mentioned Gamergate.
Yeah, Gamergate.
And I said, I heard of it. I did not do any research into it. I don't know anything about it. So here's your assignment, Joey, for the week. Fucking research it. And then I'm going to ask you some questions as you go into it. So did you do the research?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'm really hoping that you did a good job. And why don't you take over here and give me a little background on what the hell Gamergate is.
Well, thank you. Gamergate's about three topics.
Okay.
The first one is ethics in gaming journalism and production.
Okay.
Second is the identity of a gamer and what a game is.
Okay.
And third and finally, the treatment of women in gaming.
Treatment of women in gaming in the sense of like the business that creates the games, or gaming in like, I'm a gamer, you're a gamer, and we treat women like shit. That's
both.
Type of thing. Both. Okay.
That seemed like a very weird third thing. To put in there. I guess video games are kind of male exclusive. Anyway, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, okay.
It gets interesting.
Well, this ties up in like 4chan and all that shit, right?
Yeah,
that
type of it's huge. It's okay. Unbelievable.
All right, go for it.
Okay, so what actually happened was it's been going on for a while, but on August 27th, Adam Baldwin.
Well, I missed a lot of shit, huh?
Yes.
I just saw, honestly, I saw it on Twitter. I saw like some people making fun of it, and I was like, I don't know. I don't care. I don't know what it is, but I am interested.
Okay. August 27th, actor Adam Baldwin did a tweet.
Adam Baldwin? Who's
Adam
that?
Baldwin. He has no relationship to the Baldwin brothers,
right?
But he's known for movies such as Photometal Jacket, Independence Day, Predator 2,
okay,
and The Patriot.
Okay, The Patriot.
And even better, TV, you have Firefly, Shuck, Angel, and The X-Files.
Okay, so he's like a real nerd, this guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So on his tweet, he posted two YouTube links and the hashtag Gamergate.
Right.
His actual tweet was only retweeted 206 times of today.
Right.
207th, I tweeted it as well. So that way, if anybody wants to look into it, they can see
very
exactly
good.
What
that's
I'm talking
at
about.
Joey from Jersey, Jersey with a Z. You can go check it out.
So the two links he posted, the first one is called Conspiracy Theory, The Five Guys Saga.
Okay.
And the second one is Conspiracy Theory In and Out Edition.
All right.
Okay. The first video.
Which are two burger chains. I don't know what that has to do with
it. It's called
We're going deep down the rabbit hole, my friend.
I guess so.
Okay. The first one's called Conspiracy Theory.
Uh-huh.
It's about a video game developer by the name of Zoe Quinn.
Okay. Kay. A woman, I'm assuming.
A woman. She designed a game with two other people. It's a text adventure.
A what?
Yes.
This is why they get treated like shit. It's like a text adventure. What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly what it is.
Doesn't sound like Halo to me.
Okay, but let me read it.
Go ahead.
Known for the game Depression Quest is an interactive game where you play as someone living with depression. You're given a series of everyday life events and attempt to manage your illness, relationships, job, and possible treatment. This game aims to show that other sufferers of depression that they are not alone in their feelings and to illustrate to people who may not understand the illness the depths of what people can go through.
Yeah, that's called everyday life.
Okay. This game was on stream.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were calling it a non-game.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
It sounds like a game. It just doesn't sound like a particularly exciting game to me.
One of the websites is known as WizardChan. Okay.
It's an WizardChan?
Yes.
So it's connected to 4chan, obviously.
I don't know if it's connected.
It's got Chan in it. It's 4chan, for those of you who don't know, is like the dark underbelly of the internet. It's like where all the gross memes come from. It's where fappening pictures get leaked. Yeah. You could watch beheading video. When I was looking at fappening pictures, I was looking for them. I'm pretty sure I saw a picture of Robin Williams after he hung himself.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. I wasn't there for that.
Oh.
But that's B-board on 4chan. Yeah, it fucking sucks.
So WizardChan is an image board for Hocus Pocus.
What the hell? What the
Disney movie Hocus Pocus?
Sure, starring Bette Midler.
So the people on there go after Zoe Quinn for whatever reason about how it's not a game, attacking her personally,
right,
and such as. So as this was happening, couple websites such as Rock Paper Shotgun and Cthulhu,
oh my god,
went and supported her and the gaming company. You know, companies went backing her.
Right.
So, but
But let me ask you, was this fucking game a big deal? Or it just became a big deal because
it became a big deal because everyone started tweeting about it. Looking
This is a computer game, right?
Yes.
It's not for like Xbox or PlayStation.
No, it's on Steam.
Okay.
Oh, so it's for PCs.
So basically, it's like anything else. They just can turn this little thing into a bigger cause of why are women treated like shit in gaming?
Awesome. Yeah. So what happens is August 16th. There's the Zoe post.
Okay.
Okay. Zoe has a boyfriend.
Yeah.
He gets upset, finds out that she's been sleeping around.
Oh, uh-oh.
Now.
Looks like old Zoe's dealing with depression a different way.
Apparently, there's supposed to be five guys, three are named, and there's still argument on who the other guys is.
Whoa.
All right.
One of the guys is Joshua Boggs, who happens to be married and her boss at the indie game developer.
Interesting. What are the odds we bring up two guys with the last name Box on the same episode? I brought up Jason Box, the guy in Iceland. And now this guy. What's his name? Jared Box?
Joshua Box.
Joshua Box.
Joshua Eat Box.
Jay Box. Yeah. Joshua Eat Box. Her old boyfriend don't. That's why she's cheating on him. Why did I do that? Go ahead.
The second name happens to be Nathaniel Gayson, who happens to be a video game journalist who wrote positive pieces about her and her game.
A video game journalist.
Yes.
That's a real job.
Yes, it is. It's a fantastic job. It's a job I wouldn't mind having.
No, amazing. you would mind having it eventually when you got to play the depression game for 14 hours and explain it.
Okay. Good. The main issue with Nathaniel was that he never recused himself, meaning he never told anybody that he was having a relationship with her as he was writing the pieces.
Oh.
Okay. Wow. It's so funny that they could turn this like tiny thing. It's like, yeah, I guess that's a conflict of interest, but good thing it doesn't fucking matter at all. It's just an article about this game.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
So you have Adam Baldwin who posts his video. Then you have the Zoe post. Okay. So there was a YouTuber named Mundane Matt, who uploaded a video critiquing her game, Depression Quest.
Okay. I can't believe it's called Depression Quest. I think we're going to call this episode Depression Quest.
Okay.
Is that one word?
No, it's two, actually.
It's two words.
It's
okay,
two words.
This episode will be called now, Episode 2, Depression Quest.
So what Matt did was Matt took a still frame of...
I'm going to get this game, by the way.
Yes. Of a Depression Quest, which is a public available image.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's talking about the game, and then he also like comments about her relationship with other people. She finds out about it, and she has it taken down for copyright infringement.
Okay. Oh, because it has a picture of the game in it. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So everybody finds out that it's a big deal because she takes down the video telling everybody.
And by everybody, you mean like these people.
Yeah. The people who were following Matt found out that there was a video game developer who was sleeping around to advance a career.
Right.
Okay. The second video.
Well, is that, see, okay, so stop right there. Okay. See, that's the thing. It's like you just advanced their argument without even really realizing that you did it. Is she, the game was out already. Did the game come out because she was blowing this guy, or what's the deal? Is that,
if you look at the timelines,
yes. Was she actually blowing him?
Oh, I'm sure.
We don't know that.
No, she definitely was.
That's hearsay at this
point. That is hearsay.
That's pure hearsay. But I assume it happened. In my mind, that's what happened.
But timeline.
Can I play like my game? She's blowing
when she was developing the game.
It's about depression. This is really depressing.
When she was developing the game.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So the second one is conspiracy theory in an audition.
Uh-huh.
All right. So
if it's not totally relevant, skip ahead a little.
Okay. It's a little bit relevant, right, because it has to do with all the different channels, and it turns out that the moderators knew Zoe Quinn. So anytime anyone would upload or make a comment about Zoe Quinn, they would delete it.
Right.
So then there was censorship.
So they're kind of defending her. So the internet nerds that you would assume would hate her.
Well, half of them are defending her, and the other half are going after her.
Yeah, because half of them probably wanted to sleep with her because they know they're blowing this guy, and then the other half are like, she's ruining the purity of video games.
So then what happens from this, on August 28th, the websites, you want me to name names?
No, that's all right, good.
Okay. Some of the websites then question the end to the gamer culture identity.
Right.
Because the gamers were going after
the
websites.
Gamer identity being Doritos, Mountain Dew, we're going to play whatever. But that's like the gamer identity, I assume, that they're talking about. But this shatters that because of the defense of this woman.
Well, I want to know exactly how one defines gamer.
Well, but that's what they're saying. Everybody would make a joke about, the gamer that sits on his couch and eats Doritos and has Dorito dust everywhere and he's smoking weed and he's blah, blah, blah. So, but they're saying that this shatters it because you've got, I'm assuming, an attractive woman sleeping with
the
boss.
Is she attractive? And, I want to see a picture.
Yeah, what's her name again? Zoe?
Zoe Quinn.
Oh, yeah. She is.
Yeah, see, this becomes the problem already because a hot chick in the gamer community is probably
only 27, too.
So she's smart.
Yeah.
Oh, she's, like, cute. Yeah, she's exactly what the hell you'd think.
Yeah,
what,
like,
you would think.
A game maker would look like, oh, yeah, there's a picture of her holding a bunch of Pikachus and shit. Yeah.
But some people...
So she's, like, nerdy, you know.
Oh, no, I take that back. I apologize. Not that attractive.
Okay, but in any event, that's... Then, regardless, okay. Joey?
Okay.
That's so funny.
A lot of people feel that the websites put that out to deflect. The main issue was the fact that you had somebody who was in the industry possibly sleeping around to advance a career.
Yeah.
So half the people
saying
that.
But that's a sexist argument to begin with, right? To just assume that the only way she got there, unless the game sucks, then maybe it's true. It's called Depression Quest, for Christ's sake. What could you possibly be doing in the game? Do you have any information about what you do in the game?
No, it's a text adventure game.
Right.
So they bring up a thing, and you just select it, and from your selection, the game progresses.
So to me,
even consider it a game.
Yeah. It sounds like, to me... All right, here's what I think about it. Sounds like, to me, she's... Maybe somebody who is like kind of into games the way girls are into games, like where they play Wii or whatever, that type of thing. She's probably not like a hardcore gamer. She could be, but maybe she's like a more of a fan of the gamer, like society, like that type of persona type of thing. She gets involved with this guy and she's like, well, I have an idea for a game. It's probably not that he's like, okay, you can make this lucrative game because you slept with me. He's probably just like, yeah, go for it. Whatever. She makes the game and then people are all pissed off about it, but it doesn't really sound like... the game is not this massive game that she was able to achieve it and jump the line because, you know, she slept with this guy. Is that what these guys are jealous about? That they have games?
Some of them are, but also it came out that there is a very fine line between the gaming journalisms and the
journalists.
The journalists and the developers. Apparently there's a thin line where people started looking into some of these relationships. Maybe they shouldn't be happening.
In terms of what? Getting favorable reviews, things
exactly.
like that. Yeah, I mean, but isn't that kind of I don't know. I mean, isn't that kind of the case with every industry? I mean, where
I would think
there's, you know, even people that cover the White House, they're kind of close with politicians because they're around them every day. They work with them.
Yeah.
So you're bound to have these kind of like homogenous, kind of incestuous relationships
mm-hmm.
just by proximity. Like you're there every day and, you know, going back to what we were talking about before, that's why Snowden's important. If you're Chuck Todd or you're some guy that's sitting in the White House press room every day,
yep,
and you know the press secretary and you know all these people, you're probably not going to blow up their spot because it's going to affect your...
Because you got to see them the next day.
Yeah, you have a personal relationship with them. So it's important when you have people that are blowing the whistle. I guess these people are whistleblowers, but they might be wrong. You know?
True.
It's interesting. This is interesting.
Then on October 14th,
okay,
there was a YouTuber named Annette Sarkazian.
I don't know.
She tweeted...
Look it up. I don't know.
I can't. I have it here.
Never mind. Just go ahead.
She tweeted, "Stop Gamergate 2014.
Okay. Okay. But wait. But why? Yes. But I don't understand.
Well, I have to explain why she would do that.
No, I'm trying to figure out what... Why are they trying to stop Gamergate? She thinks that they shouldn't be going after these types of relationships?
Well, see, that's the main issue with this that I feel is that no one's putting any... Exactly. They're not putting it into context.
It's like Kony 2012. Nobody knows what the hell's going
on. Exactly. Be. It's just a bunch of people hashtagging something.
Right.
Well, it goes off in all different
Tiger
directions.
Blood. Winning.
Yeah, winning.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, you know what? By the way... Great job, Joey. I'm very impressed with the amount of research you did. You never used to do this on Backyard Buddies.
Wait, it keeps on going.
Oh my God.
Now, Annette, she is a blogger.
You wrote a goddamn dissertation on this.
Yes, I did.
Good.
A media critic, uh-huh, and she's a feminist,
right,
who started a successful Kickstarter.
Oh, okay.
Her goal was $6,000.
Yep.
She raised $150,000.
Oh, God. If I ever start a Kickstarter for $6,000 and gain $150,000, I take the money and I leave.
Now, she...
I'm not doing the thing. Fuck you.
She critiques the role of women in video games.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
So now you
have... Wait. But what was the Kickstarter about?
The Kickstarter was a project entitled Tropes versus Women in video game series.
Okay.
So she would critique how women, you know...
I get it.
...were in video games and how they would produce video games and such.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So she's... tweeting "Stop Gamergate," which I think she's referencing.
No, that was Joe Herrera. I asked him not to interrupt. He did anyway. See, he said, "What did he say? Fuck Zoe Quinn." Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Continue,
cool,
Joey.
Joe.
Yeah. Chill out, bro. You'll get your plug at the end. Relax.
Yeah.
So what? So now you have this woman, Annette, who in the past has received death threats through Twitter.
Right.
And what?
No, go ahead, Joe.
Receiving death threats through Twitter, as well as Zoe. So you have a thing where some of it has to do with the game production. Another thing is how women are being treated.
Right.
And it's just a whole clusterfuck.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like that. But it does sound like a lot of... It's very reminiscent of like a lot of the things that have been coming up, even we talked about with the Fappening, where it's like people are on one side and this and that. It's a sex crime. It seems like this kind of internet feminist advocacy has become... a big thing lately.
Yeah.
And this just seems like another thing about it where this, you know, chick makes a game about depression and it turns into an entire
epic fight.
Yeah.
This is a very weird story.
It is a weird story.
And a good question that it brings up is the difference between bloggers and journalists.
Yeah. Because
if you're a journalist, you get back access. You get to play the games first. You get to be more involved. If you're a blogger, you're just sitting at home on your computer blogging, saying things.
Yeah. And you're kind of guessing, right? Yeah. The difference is access. You're right. But by the same token, we were just talking about it, access provides a level of comfort between you and the people you're writing about that maybe prevents you from really going after them, which it didn't with Michael Hastings and his car blew up. It's an interesting thing, Joey. I don't know. We'll keep your eye on this. Obviously, if more stuff comes out. I mean, I think it's whatever. It's essentially meaningless, like the overall story.
I love my video games.
No, but I'm just saying, like, it's inconsequential. But, you know, it's like another...
So how can the treatment of women be inconsequential?
No, well, that's what I was going to say. But in the context of feminism and sexism and things like that, it's not inconsequential because it's just another aspect of it being played out. But
Google Zoe Quinn. She has nudes.
There you go. So that's what we've learned today.
And that's that.
No, that was really well done, Joey. Thank you.
That was great.
Can you please... you know, just kind of like follow up if there's anything interesting.
I'll follow up on it. When it trends again, I'll let you know. But it's trended in and out for the last like month and a half.
Okay. Right.
But it's like, Adam Baldwin like gave a tweet and he gave two links.
Yeah.
So when you do that, you can follow it.
Yeah, of course.
But when you have a million tweets of people just putting stop game of gaming and then go after somebody channels where they're attacking the women for whatever reason.
Well, it ends up proving the point though, because they go, oh, Gamergate is because, you know, people are sexist against this chick or mm-hmm. she's sleeping around, and then people are going to just hurl sexist insults and like crazy things at her.
Right.
Yeah. Very. Okay. Well, that's stay on top of that, because that's an interesting one. I really had no idea what the fuck that was about. And I'm going to probably go download Depression Quest when I get home and then maybe kill myself.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, dude, Depression Quest.
Yeah,
That's a video game.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Sounds like just my day-to-day life. It really does, the way you described it.
Very good job, Joey. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, dude, way to go,
I feel like
dude.
That was your best story that you've ever brought to a podcast.
Well, I'm going to continue it up. Next week's even better.
Yeah, well, if there's nothing, don't just make it up. You know, if there's more to
Or do. Just make up an entire fucking follow-up.
Maybe that's your assignment for next week. Get involved in Gamergate. Just start tweeting at people and making up stories. Zoe killed my dog! Good job, Joey.
I heard she does that. I heard she kills dogs.
She kills dogs.
Purely hearsay. I really don't know.
Well, we'll see.
All right. I have like a bunch of other things to talk about. I'm just going to bring up one other thing that I thought was really cool. There's this website I go to. It's called Toxel, TOXEL.com. It's like a design, kind of inspiration thing. They put up an article, and they put up really cool stuff all the time, but they put up this article about the world's deepest pool.
Interesting.
It's called the Y40 pool. It's in Italy. It's 40 meters deep, which is 131 feet.
No.
And they keep it at a nice 90 degrees, so you can just jump in and go and swim and whatever. I have a video, and you can go look at the video on the website and look at the pictures and stuff. But it's just really weird to see something like this insane depth, but just in a pool. Like,
can I say something real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
This is one of my greatest fears.
What, depth? Like a deep ocean or something?
Yes.
Really?
When I was a little kid, I was terrified I still am not a big fan of deep pools.
Okay.
And the fact that I could be dragged down like that, this to me,
you were watching the video of it,
one of my worst fears.
It just looks cool.
I've seen this thing before. Yeah, it's very cool, but this is just fucking terrifying.
It doesn't. Can I touch the bottom of that?
Yeah, you'll
see. People dive down.
People put on scuba equipment and like flippies and shit like that, and they go all the way down to the bottom. It's so weird to look at. Yeah, I think it's really, really cool. And we're watching a video of it right now. That's what the music is. But
look at that ass.
I know. I started watching. I was like, all right, whatever. It's like 4 minutes. I'm going to watch this whole thing. I was like, oh, look at the sweet butt on this one swimming to the bottom. It's really crazy. You guys should definitely check it out. And if you're ever in Italy, fucking go swim in it, because it's probably amazing. Look at that.
You know what the biggest thing about it is?
Oh, they touched the bottom.
And it's just
No, that's not the bottom.
No.
That's like the ledge before the huge dive into the circle. You guys got to check it out. Obviously, we're talking about a video. But it's really crazy, and I thought it was interesting. I mean, I can see why it's terrifying. But there's lights and shit.
Right. The fact that it's this well lit is great. But to me, deep pools, I always have this fucking unfounded idea that I will somehow get dragged to the depth of it, like my body doesn't float, and then I'm just gonna get sucked down there and held down there, and
I don't have that at all, really, with water. It just doesn't bother me. Yeah, no, it doesn't do it. It doesn't scare me at all. But anyway, yeah, you guys should go check it out. There's that sweet ass again. Dude, Italy, very nice, very nicely done with this pool and the sweet booty in the picture.
Ancestors, way to go.
Really. All right. So anyway, so that's that video. I don't really have anything else to bring. We can maybe talk about some other shit next week. It doesn't matter. Andy, do you have anything else to wrap up with? Or
No, I don't think so. We're at about an hour 7 minutes here. I don't think our Joeyites.
Noeyites.
I don't think the Noeyites would care to listen to us any longer than this. I don't know. Do you have anything you want to plug? Anything coming up?
Yeah, we'll get into that. I actually did just have one little quick follow-up from the Mayhem Miller thing. He pled not guilty to all the various charges, but he's...
And what happened?
It's waiting a trial. Okay. You know? He's going to be fucked.
He's locked up right now? He has to be.
I think he is. Yeah, he's fucked. That was a big mistake. Mayhem Miller, I feel bad for you, buddy, but you made a big mistake.
They need to do some... they need to get him in front of a doctor and a psychologist and figure out what's going on with this guy.
That could potentially be what happens here. I mean, he obviously has some issues. Because I actually went on his blog, like his website, just to see if he had written anything.
Oh, yeah.
Some of his old posts are just like word soup type of like rambling shit, like shit that does not make any sense. So if you want to go read some gibberish and see some madness, go to Mayhem Miller's website.
Yeah.
Joe, do you got anything else to say in closing?
Or? I'm good.
You're good. I think you did a great job today. Thank you very much, Andrew, Andy. Good job. Whatever. I only said here's the thing like four or five times, so not terrible.
Four
times, yeah. I want to thank Stand Up New York Labs, John Fatigate, for letting us do this. We really appreciate it. It's awesome. It's very fun. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. If you have anything to say, please get in touch with us. I'm at Mansamp on Twitter, M-A-N-S-A-M-P. And you can catch me on the TFM podcast doing news every Tuesday, which is a lot of fun. Andy is A_Lozzi, L-O-Z-Z-I on Twitter.
Lozzi.
Joey's Joey from Jersey, Jersey with a Z. You can get in touch with us, mandatorysamson@gmail.com. You can find the podcast on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/mandatorysamson. We submitted it to iTunes. It should be up soon. I'm not sure. Let me know if it's not up or whatever, but yep. You can find us on there. Leave a comment, rate, review, leave a comment on SoundCloud. Just get in touch with us. I'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah. If you guys want to talk to us about anything, we're always there to field any questions you have. If you have ideas for stories, things you want us to touch on, just send them on over. You know, tweet them to us, email them to our email, whatever you want. Send them over, and and we're happy to interact with you guys at any time.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, and just because like I don't answer every single thing, I have been pretty good about it. But if we get like a lot more, I might miss some. Because I'm reading them, I'm seeing them. Yeah, like you know, and it's very much appreciated.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing we wanted to mention is that we appreciate all you guys listening and just appreciate just the support. It's huge for us, and it's something we didn't really imagine happening. So Right. Yeah, we love it. Thank you guys very much.
Yes, absolutely. I do want to plug just a couple of things from Stand Up New York Labs. Guys, other podcasts to check out. Check out In the Conversation with Damian Lemon, yep. Ali Muhammad, and Vlad Camaño. Those guys are great. It's a really interesting podcast. We might even possibly try to get them to come on this podcast
and
get in the conversation with us, which would be awesome. Ranting and Raving with Yamanika and Friends, Side Eye Chloe. You guys should check that out. They're in LA right now, but they're going to be recording soon. Race Wars with Kurt Metzger and Sherrod Small.
Oh, God.
Caitlin Bailey's always on there. So funny. I mean, those guys are just hilarious comics.
They are.
Always a great conversation. Terrific. I want to give a plug to the little son of a bitch that was interrupting us, even though I asked him not to. Harari, who works with us. He's also the booker at Stand Up New York. He has a podcast called Your Mother's Basement that he does with Jonathan Randall.
Guys, please check it out. He, as you could tell by the interruptions, he needs a lot of attention. He needs people to feel, he needs to feel like people are paying attention to him at all times. So please listen to his podcast. It is really funny. He's a really funny dude. And so is Randall.
Yeah,
so
Jonathan Randall's hilarious. Yeah, I mean, it's a different conversation completely than what we're talking about. It's like these two pothead Jews just talking about comic books and TV
and Jew stuff
and whatever. Yeah, just Jew stuff. So you guys will like it. It's fun. It's like a quicker podcast. It's like, a different material.
Yeah,
so you should check it out. And finally, please go watch The Weed News. It's a show produce here. It's a web show. We've done 14 episodes. It just came out today. We released a new episode. So yesterday, if you're listening to this, it's The Weed News with Mike Cannon, who's hilarious, has his own podcast here called Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. It's conspiracy theories and shit like that. I do all the graphics on The Weed News. Andy helps shoot it. He does a lot of editing on it. Does all the
sound and video editing. Yeah, it's a lot.
It's an in-home, in-studio thing that we do here. It's all in-house production, and it's very funny, and I'd love it if you guys would check it out and leave a nice comment and all that jazz.
I think you guys would really like it.
Oh, it's great.
It's something we work really hard on,
yep.
And we're starting to build up the audience, but we're not anywhere near where we want to be, so guys, please check it out. You won't be disappointed.
No, it's Tosh.0 with weed.
Exactly, it's not something that's, it's not super long. We do 4 to 7 minutes are our longest episodes, and I guarantee you, Mike is one of the funniest comics we have here. You guys will enjoy it, I promise.
Absolutely. All right, so thank you again, everybody. We will be back next week, and we love you very much. Thank you for listening, and we love doing this, so we're going to keep doing it. So we will talk to you all next week.
Later.
Bye, guys.